Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon to you, Pastor Monahiba.
Good afternoon, Brother Zamba. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
No, we are doing okay. I think my throat still giving me a bit of problems, but
still,
I'm getting better.
Oh, man, yeah, I was hoping it's going to be better today, but I hope that it's not as sore as it was yesterday.
Not as bad as yesterday. It's improved.
Well, let's hope that by tomorrow it will be completely healed, I pray.
Now,
we're talking about the new nature of humanity, continuing on that conversation. And we're looking at, you know, what God said. He said, let us make man in our own image, our own likeness. This is Genesis 1:26. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock, over the all the earth and everything creeping that creeps upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, created he them. And of course, that's coming from Genesis 1:26-28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and of the birds and of the heavens over and every living thing that moves on the earth. Beautiful, beautiful thing that happened there during that time in the creation of humanity. Now, what does it mean that God was created in the image of God? Are we like little gods ourselves?
But man was created in the image of God. That's a very good question that we are looking at today. In a sense, yes. In a sense, yes. Let me begin by what it means and probably what the verse wanted us to understand. The first thing that we need to understand, Brother Zama, about the question you've asked is, it is a little bit complex to understand because the Bible expressly says that God is spirit. Okay? God is spirit. So when we talk about being created in his image, the question we must probably first of all try to address is that a physical, is it the physical aspect, the physical dimension that, you know, mirrors the image of God? And I want to say that what my understanding has been as we read the scriptures is that if we were to narrow that down to the physical nature, the physical aspects, there's a lot of tension that would be created from that understanding. And I want to say the first thing is actually when we read Genesis chapter 1, 26 through to 28, what the Bible describes there is that it is male and female that were created in the image of God. It says he created them, male and female created he them in his image. And so when we look at the physical aspects, men and women, there's generally speaking quite a few distinctions that we can see between a woman and a man. All right. There are quite a few of those distinctions that we see between a man and a woman. And so if we are saying that male and female were both created in the image of God, then it creates kind of a conundrum in the mind to say, then who of these two beings looks closer to God? The second challenge that would be presented by the physical aspect is we also have, as you know, in South Africa, we have different races. South Africa, I believe, is called the Rainbow Nation because of the different race and ethnicities that you have there in South Africa. The question also would be, because we have Hispanics, we have Caucasians, we have Africans, you know, so who of those look more like God physically? Is it the blacks? Is it the whites? Is it the Indians? Is it the Chinese? That's also a second problem that would be created by the physicality of the image of God. So here's what I have discovered, and I know time, we are hard-pressed all the time. When you read Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, we seem to get some insight into what God wanted us to understand. Moses there was basically asking to see the face of God. So he says to God, show me your glory. But the Lord says, no man may see my face and live. And yet he presents an alternative. When we come to chapter 34 and verse 5, he says, the Lord, compassionate and the gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. So this is after God passes in front of Moses. He covers him with his hand in the cleft and allows Moses to see the back. But then he tells Moses, instead of seeing me physically, what is more important is for you to understand my attributes. We see this same thought captured also in the Gospel of John, where Philip was, having a discussion with Jesus, I believe in chapter 14. And he says, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. And Jesus says to Philip, how long have I been with you, Philip? Don't you know that he who has seen me has also seen the Father? All right. Now, of course, Jesus claimed there to be God cannot be questioned. That is part of what he was trying to say to Philip, that I am God. But we also know that the Jesus that was talking to Philip was a man that could be seen, a man that could be touched, you know, and actually, Isaiah describes him as one that when we look at him, there's nothing about him really that is desirable. There was no glory about him. You know, there was no halo. There was no glow about him. He was just an ordinary man. So in a sense, what Jesus is saying is that the works, actually, as you read on, I think, chapter 14, verse 8, coming down to 10, he says that the Father is in me and doing the works. So through my life, you are able to see what God looks like. Through what I'm doing through my life, through my teaching, to have a glimpse of what God looks like. Really, the image of God is not really limited to the physical attributes, but mainly has to do with his moral and spiritual nature.
Yeah, more so the spiritual nature. But lovely stuff there. Now, what was God's reason for creating humanity after all? I mean, what's the actual purpose there?
Okay. We find two things that we read about in the same book of Genesis. But maybe before I come there, allow me just to quickly read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I think it's verse 13. Let me read that one. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. All right? So to fear God and to keep his commandments is the whole duty of man. All right, that is the summary of our existence. The purpose of our existence is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And now you may ask, Brother Zama, what does that really mean? What does it mean to fear God and to keep his commandments? Now, we must be reminded that when Adam was created, God actually gave a number of instructions. One of the instructions was that he was supposed to give names to the animals. He was supposed to have dominion. He was supposed to tend the garden, you know. And he was also instructed not to eat from the tree that was in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What is very interesting is that when Jesus comes, when he came as a man in Mark chapter 12, somebody asked him, what is the most important command? What is the most important commandment? And Jesus answered in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with your strength. And he says, the second one is like the first. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no commandment greater than these two. So really, the essence of human creation, the purpose of human creation, was for relationship with God and fellow human beings. The second aspect is to be a steward of the environment, to look after nature, you know, to subdue the earth and to take care of God's creation. So ultimately, I would say, Brother Zama, in a nutshell, that we were created to be a reflection of God's character and actually an extension of his kingdom here on earth. The word where God, where the Trinity says now, let us create man and let him have dominion. You know, something that God has always possessed is dominion, you know, as the supreme king of the universe. But he says, let man be an extension of that kingdom, an extension of that dominion here on earth.
That's actually powerful, very, very powerful, that dominion, you know, actually the power of the human being's creation. But then how did we come to lose this power, this perfection that we're creation with, we created with? What was the impact of the sin on our nature, as it were?
Yes. So sin basically did a number of things. We find in the garden that in Genesis chapter 3 that God had given Adam, you know, express instructions concerning the fruit that was in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So after Eve ate and Adam ate, you know, the devil had told them basically that you will become like God. But what they discovered actually was quite the opposite. Instead of becoming like God, they now began to experience certain things they had not experienced. And one of them was the feeling of shame and guilt. They realized that they were naked, and so they want to cover themselves. Another thing that we find is they are scared now of the presence of God. They can no longer, you know, be around God's presence. They felt unworthy to stand in God's presence. They felt fear of God. So it is, you know, some people look at it and say God was very cruel, you know, to give them the kind of sentence that he gave them. But when you look at the text, actually, Brother Zama, you discover that God made pronouncements of what they have become. Not really to say that now, because of what you've done, I'm annoyed and I'm going to punish you severely. God was basically telling them what they are now, what they had already seen, because when he came, they wanted to hide from him. Okay? A strange phenomenon, because they had not done that before. So when God says, you know, because of what you have done, the ground is cursed, and you sweat all the days of your life, to dust you return, because that's where you were taken from. It's not like God is retaliating, but it's God actually telling them the state of affairs. This is what has happened. Because of your disobedience, death has come. You know, because of your disobedience, the whole of creation has also taken part in your curse. And so this is basically what the effect of sin was on the human race. What else I want to say probably is that we discover that not only did we lose our perfect nature, but the other thing that we find here is that the devil actually now usurps the dominion that we had. The serpent actually gets what we were given by God. And now you find that there are titles that the devil is given, like the ruler of this world, the prince of this world. Those were titles that were never supposed to belong to the devil. The ruler of this world, the prince of this world, those were titles that were supposed to belong to humanity. But thank God for Jesus, because through the transaction on the cross, our, you know, our dominion, so to speak, has been restored.
Yeah, that's man, sad stuff there. But hey, it is what it is, and we're here now. Now, as sinners, can we still be considered to be in God's image?
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to say maybe I would answer that in two ways. Can we still be considered to be in God's image? Yes and no, Brother Zama. Mm-hmm. But I would say, first of all, yes. And here's why. When you read the Bible in Genesis chapter 9, I believe it should be verse 6, the Bible talks about the fact that whoever sheds the blood of his fellow human being, his blood will be shed as well, because man was made in God's image.
Mm.
So even after the fall in chapter 3, when we come to chapter 9, God still basically affirms the fact that humankind was made in his image.
Mm.
Now, though we are in his image, even though we are sinners, that image has been defaced. It is not quite as it's supposed to be.
Mm.
If maybe I can give an example, maybe not the best example. We have devices in our homes that we use, fans, television sets, and so on and so forth. For those things to be functional, is dependent. They are typically dependent on connection to a power source.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So a fan that is connected to power, and maybe the connection is not done very well, probably there's low voltage, that fan is not going to function as intended because of the connection problem.
Yeah.
It won't function as it's supposed to be. You know, it won't function at its full potential. And so this is what we find with humanity. Because of the disruption in connection between man and God, we are no longer capable of functioning at the level which we were supposed to function. But the good news is that 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we find that even though our, you know, the image of God in us has been defaced, Jesus's main mission on earth was to come and restore the image of God in us, all of us that accept him as our Lord and our Savior. So Paul now says that basically, as we continue to reflect on his glory, as we keep our eyes fixed on Christ, the image of God in us is restored through the Spirit.
Yeah, beautiful stuff, man. Pastor, I must thank you so much for your time and joining us this afternoon. Indeed, somewhat defaced, but I am glad for the good news that you have shared with us, that Christ is working to restore that image of God in ourselves as sinners. Oh, man, it is good news indeed. Thank you, Pastor, for your time. Appreciate your coming through. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow once more at the same time and same place.
I'm looking forward to that, Brother Zama. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you and our listeners.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.